Hello, and welcome into week four of the By Faith Curriculum Podcast. I'm here with Jenny.
What's up?
Welcome to the podcast for the first time, right?
First time. This is an exciting time.
Let's go. Excited to have you on the podcast, on the curriculum team. How was your first experience putting together some curriculum?
It was really interesting. I mean, you do have to do a lot of like background kind of, there's a lot more that goes into it than I thought.
Like,
you got to read a lot of commentaries, a lot of scholarly stuff. But it's really cool. You get to really dive into the word in a new way and learn so much more than you ever thought you would about the Bible.
Love it. Well, can't wait to pick your brain and hear a little bit of, about what, the Lord kind of revealed to you through this week. But before we do that, let's do a little recap. So last week, Rachel talked a little bit about Sarah and this idea of waiting on the promised child.
Yeah.
I guess, spoiler alert, like the child came. We never really talked about that. But we're going to get into some, aftermath of more faithfulness is displayed through the Genesis power couple of Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah, definitely.
So I guess kind of just walk us up to this week and then maybe give us a little summary of where we're at.
Yeah, so last story, don't know if it fully got talked about, but Isaac was born from Sarah, and that's kind of the promised child that Abraham and Sarah had been waiting for. And that is the child that God promised the nations would be born out of. And so in Genesis 22, we get to see Abraham, I mean, kind of before this, Abraham's called to leave his land and go to a land unknown. So he kind of packs up all his bags and says, all right, Lord, let's go. Takes his family with him. And then him and Sarah join or like go to this new land with their child. And everything seems to be going great, or so we can assume. We don't really hear anything else besides that until God kind of asks Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. So that's kind of where Genesis 22 comes into play of Abraham going to Mount Moriah and, is it Mount Moriah?
Sure, we can go with that.
I
don't really know either.
But. That came to my mind. It sounds right, but maybe it's not. Look it up. But he just kind of asks Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac.
Which is wild.
Yeah, it's completely wild. And it is a testing of faith, and it says that in this. But, I mean, what a way to test your faith.
Seriously, and with the backdrop of last week of, like, just how... I mean, we're like, 10 chapters removed from, God's original promise to Abraham to deliver, many nations through him. And, it seems like, okay, like we've waited all this time and, I've followed you and, been faithful to, you're talking about to the land I didn't even know. And now it's like, you're wanting to test me again. And, I don't know. I feel like if I was Abraham, I would almost just check out at this point and just be like, really? Like, you want me to go this far?
Yeah. And even like, I mean, this story is told kind of through, not really through the lens of Abraham, but you really only hear Abraham's faith through this, but even Sarah, like Sarah waited so long to have a child and thinking about like, oh my gosh, he's asking me to, or asking Abraham to sacrifice our only child. Like that would be such a pain to a mother, but like, I mean, a father as well, but having to go through childbearing at the age that she was,
seriously,
it's like, would I have to do this again? Like, I don't know if I could, you know?
That's a great point. Yeah. That makes me wonder, like, just even that conversation of, like, Abraham, kind of walks in, like, it's kind of quiet for a second, and Sarah's like, what's up? And he's like, well, I heard this thing from God. And I can't imagine how difficult that conversation must have been. And I feel like on some level, Sarah had to be on board with, with Abraham's decision.
It's always fun to, get your imagination going in the Bible and think about what happens outside of the words that we get to read, like, there are in-betweens. And so that would have had to have been a conversation in the in-between.
Yeah. Okay. So God says, I need you to sacrifice Isaac to me. Then where do we go from there?
So Abraham goes up to the mountain. He kind of takes some servants with him, takes Isaac with him, and they go up to the mountain and and he knows the Lord's going to provide a sacrifice, which at this point he thinks Isaac is the sacrifice. And up to that point, that's what we also think as well. So he goes up to the mountain. And at this point, Isaac would have had to have like realized that, oh crap, I'm the sacrifice. Like there's no other.
Where's the goat or whatever that we normally bring with us? Like this is not how this thing typically goes.
The ram. And so Isaac asks his dad, like, hey, dad, where's the sacrifice?
Which is like a heartbreaking question. Like, shoot. Yeah.
But I mean, at that point, like he kind of knows the answer to his own question. It's like, oh, I don't actually want to know this answer, but I feel like I need to ask the question. And so they're building the altar that needs to be built. And Isaac is helping him in all of this because Abraham's pretty old at this point. So it would have had to have been Isaac helping him through all of it, which is just kind of wild that it wasn't just Abraham's faith. It wasn't just Sarah's faith. It was also Isaac's faith of, all right, Lord, you're going to deliver. And so Isaac kind of sets up the sacrifice, or not the sacrifice, the altar, and then gets on and Abraham ties him up and, you know, he gets ready with his knife. Like Abraham had to have had faith that this was going to work out because he brought the knife to actually sacrifice his son. He wasn't just walking up there like, all right, Lord, you're going to do it. But he did kind of have the faith that even if I'm supposed to sacrifice my son, I know that God can resurrect. And so that was kind of Abraham's heart behind it. Not, oh, God's asking me to kill my son. It's, regardless, I know that my God can defeat death. And he knew this before Jesus, we'll get into this later, but this leads into the Jesus story of he's bigger than death. So he will be able to resurrect my son if he asks me to sacrifice him.
Yeah. I love that. And I even love like your allusion to, I don't know, talking about how he had that faith that like God had power over death even before Jesus even came. I love, and we see that in Hebrews 11 too, where it says in 11:19 that Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, spoiler alert, he did receive Isaac back from death. But it's like, I don't know, like it's, it's just such a clear reminder. And we're reminded at the end of Hebrews 11, but that like these people didn't see the promise of Christ and yet still lived faithfully. Expand a little bit more on that and talk about even how you see, Christ.
So I think anytime we see a sacrifice, we can always be pointed back to Jesus. And that's one cool thing of looking at the Old Testament through Hebrews 11 is that we get to see that Abraham actually believed in the resurrection. I think in Genesis 22, we kind of don't really get that full picture until it's stated in Hebrews 11. Because whenever I read this story, I was always like, this is so confusing. Like, why would God ask Abraham to kill his son and then Abraham do it? Like, you never really get the background of Abraham believed in the resurrection power. And like you said, like it's just even before they knew Jesus, which is just so cool that this resurrection power isn't something that was only known through Jesus, but it was kind of perfected and exemplified through him, which is just really cool that Jesus is woven throughout this whole story of the Bible. Like you can see the gospel narrative everywhere, which is just, I don't know, I keep saying it's just so cool, but when you really get to see the full picture of the Bible woven from Genesis to Revelation, it is just so perfect that it can only be done by God.
Yeah. And I think we even realize, I don't know, there's something human in us that just like that, man, I can't believe that like Abraham would be willing to sacrifice, you know, Isaac. And in some ways we see like the father's love for Christ and like the power of like, no, like that's like what Abraham almost did is like what, you know, what the father does in, you know, allowing Christ to go to the cross and take our sins and be the sacrifice. And, you know, that doesn't stop at the last minute. Like that actually happens.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy that, the father's love is so deep for us that he's willing to sacrifice his own son.
Yeah, I really think you see that depth of love in Abraham and through the Father God of when Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son, God calls out and says, no, like, don't lay a hand on the boy. And so Abraham doesn't actually have to go through with the sacrifice of Isaac. They still have to sacrifice the ram. But even paralleling that with the death of Jesus, God had to turn his face away because it was just so heart-wrenching to see his son die, but I don't know. It's just so cool that the Lord provides a sacrifice for Abraham so that he doesn't have to go through that, because he knows how painful it's going to be to sacrifice a son.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think even in that reminds us of just like the Father's compassion towards us in the difficult things, and even the difficult things that he asks us to do. Mm-hmm. Like, he understands that those things are difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. What else from this week really, I don't know, got you fired up, or really, I don't know, are you excited about sharing this week?
Yeah, I think, I mean, kind of this whole thing of Abraham's faith, even if Isaac was the needed sacrifice. Like, we've talked about it through a lot of the previous weeks, but faith requires action, and you have to do something about it. It's not something that you can just be like, oh yeah, I have faith in God, or like, I have faith that this will happen. But like, sometimes God requires, I mean, most of the time God requires us to do something about it. Like, we have to actually go through with what he's calling us to do. We have to actually go through with, you know, cutting off sins, cutting off ties of harmful things in our life. Like, it requires action. I think that was just so prevalent in this story, that, you know, Abraham waited so long for this promised heir of his name to come and build a great nation. But, you know, sometimes God calls us to kind of give up what we have not necessarily been promised. Like, his promise was still fulfilled, but it can't become an idol in our lives, and we have to be able to follow what he's calling us to do.
Yeah, I don't even like what you're saying about, like, I don't know, like, I think this week challenges us to, like, what is the extent of your faith?
Yeah.
You know, like, is it truly, like, you know, fully, like, you know, hey, God, I trust you on everything? Or is there, mm-hmm. like, is there a line yeah. there that you're not willing to cross? And I would say probably for most of us, there is.
Yeah.
I think that's the challenge of Abraham's faithfulness, is just, like, it's not conditional. Like, there yeah. wasn't a line. It was, like, you know, full trust and, like, you know, what God says is good and is trustworthy. And it may not make sense. It may be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of those things and a lot of those steps that maybe, I don't know, maybe our breaking point with having faith in God or trusting and obeying, he calls us past that. And yeah. Abraham's a great example of that, even before Christ.
Yeah. And obedience can kind of be like, you want to make sure that you are really discerning what God is calling you to do. And it's not done alone. I think sometimes yeah. like, everyone's like, oh, I heard this word from the Lord. But if you don't test it against your community, against scripture, like, it may have just been your own kind of thoughts. So you want to make sure, especially in this, like, kind of want to hit this point that, whatever you're hearing from the Lord, that you also make sure you confirm it with scripture, mm-hmm. bring it to your community so that they can help discern, because sometimes you can be skewed by your own thoughts and feelings. And, yeah, that's why we have community, is we want to make sure that this is what the Lord is calling us to do. In Abraham's case, it was kind of a little different because he got to hear the audible voice of God.
Right.
So, like, that's a little bit easier to say, all right, yeah, this kind of has to be from the Lord. But whereas a lot of us nowadays don't really hear the audible voice of God, we do have to test it against scripture and in community. So want to hit that point and make sure you're not just like, oh, I heard a word, and this is where I'm going from there. Like, obedience needs to be discerned.
Right. And the great part is, if you're listening to this podcast, that means you're in a core group.
Yes.
So you have that community.
So good.
Just waiting there for you to help you discern. So
yeah.
That's good. Cool. So another thing we want to do on these podcasts is even just tie into our semester-long theme of faith. I think we've hit a lot on this, mm-hmm. but even if there was just maybe one take-home point that you would give students that are listening to this for how does the example of Abraham inform how we're meant to live as people of faith?
Yeah, definitely. We've hit this, I feel like, every week, but sometimes you just really need repetition in this.
Love it.
Faith requires action, and you will probably hear this throughout the rest of the semester, the rest of the year, but like, you cannot just kind of sit and say, oh, I have faith in this. Like, you have to live it out. Like, if the Lord's calling you to cut off ties from sin or to stop doing X, Y, or Z, like, you have to actually take that into action and say, all right, Lord, here is how I'm being faithful. I'm being faithful in not going to this party or not doing this. Like, you have to do something about it. Otherwise, how are you to say, I don't know, like when you're looking at someone's life who was a faithful person, you see their actions. You can vividly point out, like, they did this, this, and this. And that's kind of the marker of faith is action. So really living it out and showing, not necessarily showing, but yeah, just living it out for everyone to see, this is my faith, and not being ashamed of it, but really living for the Lord and what he's calling you to do.
Yeah, and it's a great testimony too, because I think for even those who would say that they don't have faith, I don't know. I can't imagine it would be appealing to someone or enticing for someone to live a life of faith if they didn't realize that it, you know, somehow changed their lives.
Yeah.
You know, like, if this person looks no differently than me, then, you know, what does faith really offer to me?
Right.
But if it directly changes, you know, how you live your life,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's something to that that maybe may spark curiosity in the people around you.
Yeah. For sure.
So what do you feel like that looks like maybe practically as we walk out of this group and into the next week? What do you feel like are some practical maybe take homes out of the example of Abraham's faith?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the Lord can call you in so many different ways. It can be in quiet time. It can be in a big, large group setting. It can be very randomly. But I think also the Lord calls us in times that we don't even realize that that's how the Lord's calling us. And I think that's where it's important to reflect on your day, your week, your month. Like, how has the Lord been moving? How has he been calling me in maybe ways that I'm not recognizing, because that's not really how I want to see the Lord right now. And that's also where, like, you discern that, and then you bring that to your community. They help you discern it. But really just taking some time to reflect on what the Lord's calling you to do. Sit with him and just kind of feel, not really feel, I don't want to use the word feel, but just think about how he is calling you in different places. I know, Rachel, that was kind of the thing to do last week, was just sit and be with the Lord. But I mean, you can't do that enough to really help discern what he's calling you to that. But yeah, after that, after your reflection, don't just sit there and be like, great, that was so much fun. But bring that to your core group, bring that to your community and say, all right, this is what the Lord is teaching me. This is what I feel like he's calling me.
Yeah.
How do you all see that playing out in my life? Or do you think this is not something that is from the Lord? But yeah, just reflect on life.
Love it. Yeah, I think the beautiful thing there about even bringing it into community is, I think sometimes the Lord can speak a word to us and we can just kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. And when you speak it to other people and like discern it with other people, then it's like, they're going to hold you accountable.
Yeah.
You know, once it's out there, it's like, you know, a week or two later, it's going to be like, hey, so, you know, how's this going? Have you taken these steps? You know, how's the Lord working through it? And, you know, I think that's really good.
Yeah. It's scary to do that because, I mean, being held accountable for things can be great, but also it's like, I don't know if I'm really ready to step into that. But, you know, accountability can be a beautiful kind of push in the direction of like, no, you're going to do this because this is what the Lord's calling you to do. So yeah, accountability is wonderful and beautiful, and that's why we have groups and get to share. And yeah.
Awesome. Lean into it. Well, Jenny, thank you for hopping on the podcast. Thank you for your work in putting together this curriculum. And looking forward to groups this week.
Yeah, pumped for group.
Sweet. Well, we will catch you all next week with week 5 of our curriculum. But in the meantime, have a great group, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.